Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from June the 1st, 2022. We had a pretty interesting week in the market over the past week, so we'll go ahead and get started with major index overview as well as the Dolly asset allocation overview. When we look at the performance of a lot of the indices that we tend to follow on the video, we saw U.S. equity indices leading the way to the upside there, as we saw the NASDAQ composite as well as the NASDAQ 100 up over 7%, even the Russell 2000 up over 5%. Really, the only thing we saw in negative territory, and it's slightly in negative territory, was that iShares US Core Bond ETF, along with the dollar, down about 10 basis points as well. When we come over to the chart of the S&P 500 this morning, we do see that the S&P 500 did return to a buy signal last week, where it broke that double top there at 4,000 before, with recent action and towards the latter part of last week and early part of this week, moving up to 4,160. And at this point, clearing a little bit of resistance there at 4,180 and continuing to push higher. And we actually saw a number of the U.S. equity indices move to buy signals with the action in the latter part of last week. We also saw a number of those stocks move, a number of the indices move to buy signals as well whenever we look at those charts also. Moving on over to indicators this week, we actually saw the bullish percent for the S&P 500 move pretty strongly north with action in the latter part of last week and early part of this week. We've now seen the bullish percents for the SPX move back above that 50% level to 56%, suggesting that more than half of the stocks on the S&P 500 are now trading on point and figure buy signals. When we look at that longer term positive trend chart, we actually have also seen some positive action out of those index PTs as well, as we saw the PT for the S&P 500 move back into a column of X's following Friday's action at 40% and moving up to 42% with yesterday's action. As we noted, we did see the PT for the NDX, the PT for the S&P small mid-cap 400 as well as the small cap 600 also move into a column of X's as well. So seeing some more stocks move back into positive trends along with buy signals, and much of that has actually, in many cases in prior weeks, we saw quite a few changes in Dolly, but this week we are actually pretty quiet as far as changes go. Still see asset class leadership fairly stable there. And on the sector level, we see still some jockeying here for this 4th through 6th position with utilities, industrials, and real estate. But really the only notable change that we saw on that sector level was we've seen consumer cyclical fall down to its lowest level since early OA as far as a buy signal count goes there at 69 buy signals. As well, we also saw short duration U.S. Treasuries move up into that first position for the first time in the fixed income history that we have that goes back to the beginning of 2012. Otherwise, leadership remained fairly stable. And to discuss a little bit more on the asset classes, we'll go over to Joe.
Thanks a lot, David. And as David mentioned, there weren't too many changes over the past week in terms of leadership. If we're looking at the asset class group scores page here, we still have 8 groups ranking above that 4.0 score line. MLPs remain as the top ranked group with a score of 5.56 there. And we do see that consistent theme of commodities leading here. You know, 5 of these 8 groups are commodities related. And if you would including utilities in that, it'd be 6. So pretty strong. A lot of strength in the commodity space still right now. The money market percentile rank here remains at 70 or above 70%. We did see that tick below for a couple of days, but now it's back above 70%. And that U.S. equity core percentile rank remains relatively high at 87%, as you know, most of the groups scoring below are either in the fixed income or you know international space. Now, just a couple of relationships to walk through here. Here we're looking at the commodities versus the S&P 500 index funds group over time. You know, we can see here we've been through a pretty lengthy period, you know, dating back to 2011, where the commodities group didn't score above that S&P 500 index funds group until the beginning of this year. Now, more recently, we've seen the commodities group cool off a little bit from a score perspective. You know, we've seen precious metals and industrial metals cool off quite a bit, while the energy and agriculture space remains pretty hot. So not the broad strength in commodities that we saw a little bit earlier this year. It's a bit more concentrated in just the agriculture in energy space, but continue to remain strong. But we did see a bounce here in the S&P 500 index funds group over the last week. A lot of those indicators reversed up, as David mentioned. So we'll look to see if it can build off some of the positive aspects over the past few days. One other relationship to keep an eye on here is going to be the all value funds versus all growth funds. We still see a pretty wide spread here, indicating that value has the leadership over growth. Again, this is the first time this has happened for quite some time now. So continue to monitor this as well. We did see a bit of a bounce in the growth funds over the past week, but definitely more of a bounce in the value funds, where we see more of the strength in the market there. But with that, I'll go ahead and pass it on over to John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joseph. So looking at the momentum spreads, we had a little bit of a pullback in that leader-lagger relationship across the board, really domestic, developed, and emerging all kind of saw the same thing. Now, this is not anything we're terribly worried about. This is just looks like a very small pullback in a longer trend. So that relationship remains very strong. And when we look at what's in those indexes, the high momentum indexes right now are generally very, very heavy in energy, basic materials, that sort of thing relative to the benchmark. Really heavily underweight consumer cyclicals is the largest underweight there. So as this market continues to move forward and that leadership continues to go, those indexes continue to adapt to the leadership, we expect that spread to continue to move higher throughout the summer, and we think we're in a pretty decent spot there. I did also want to remind everybody real quickly that this RS spread is available on the Dorsey Wright site. The ticker is RS spread, and it'll pull it up in a point and figure chart for you. So every once in a while, we get some questions on that, whether it's available. That data is out there for you. It's updated on a daily basis if you want to keep track of that. Moving over to the U.S. dollar, that continues on this pullback that we've seen. We really pushed to new highs a few weeks ago, and we've seen a pretty sharp pullback. But again, this is one that it's just a pullback within a much larger trend here. Without any significant economic or interest rate changes, we would expect the dollar to find a bottom somewhere around here and continue to move higher, I think, through the rest of the year. So we're looking at probably, you know, higher prices in terms of the dollar heading into the summer months and into next year, which will definitely have implications for a lot of your larger asset allocation decisions. And for more on size and style specifically, we'll turn it back over to Joe.
Thanks, John. And, you know, over the past week, again, we haven't seen too many changes here with these size and style relationships. So we'll quickly go through here. If we look at the Dolly rankings, it remains, you know, all the same over the past week. Even on the asset class group scores page, and as we mentioned a little bit earlier, that all value funds group continues to have a pretty significant leadership over the all growth funds group, which hasn't changed at all over the past week. Now, moving over to some factors here, just walking through a couple of charts. On the left-hand side, we have the iShares Momentum Factor ETF that did return to a buy signal over the last week at 146 there. However, we still have a poor fund score of 1.67, still has quite a bit to prove itself before it be back into fine technical standing. On the right here, we have the iShares Quality Factor ETF. Fund score 2.86. That returned to a buy signal, was able to remain in a positive trend after holding support there at 114. So we'll look to see if it can continue to build off of that. 114 seems like it'd be a pretty big level, big support, also where its positive trend line resides as well. So that would be something to watch, maybe set a price alert there if it's something you want to keep an eye on. Moving over to low volatility here, this has been, you know, the most consistent factor this year with some of the strength in utilities and consumer staples that we've seen so far over the past 6 months. Has a fund score of 4.5, reversed up and back up into a column of X's after holding support there at 62. So, you know, we have pretty well-defined support here at 61 to 62 level, making it, you know, definitely actionable right here where it's at in its trading band. So an area to continue to look towards. And then finally, here is the iShares MSCI Value Factor ETF, VLUE, has a fund score of 2.3. We did see it break back to a buy signal here at 102. And similar to the quality factor, it bounced off some nice support dating back to last March there at 95 bucks. That would be another important level to watch. A break below that, you'd be putting it in danger of crossing below its positive trend line. So another one where you could set a price alert if it crosses below 95 bucks there. Now, moving over into a couple of sectors, first looking at financials. Again, there weren't too many changes to the sector rankings over the past week, much more of the same. But we look at XLF here, poor fund score of 1.8, negative score direction at 2.86. We saw this did return to a buy signal here at 34.50, but it still remains in a negative trend. And it's an area where, you're going to be really cautious with your exposure. The banking names, as we've touched on quite a bit on this call over the past couple of months, have been, fairly weak. One bright spot has been the insurance space, which has taken a little bit of a hit recently, but still an area to look towards. And, one stock you could look for in that space would be Progressive Corporation, ticker PGR. It's a 3-for-5-er, but, quality technical picture here. Has some nice support there at 108, returned to a buy signal here recently and testing its April high at 120 here. So that's a stock to look out for. It's also actionable in the trading band with a weekly overbought or sold reading of 37%. So that's one you could keep on the list if you want some sort of financial exposure. Moving over to healthcare here. Healthcare remains, a very strange sector when you look at it in the Dolly or the asset class group scores ranking near the bottom. But we look at the Healthcare Select Spider Fund, a lot of strength here with a fund score of 5.22 and a positive score direction of 1.15. A lot of that has to do with the, the large cap, mega cap, established healthcare names are doing fairly well, while the smaller cap and the biotech names are doing pretty poorly. Now we look at the chart here, 126 was a level we touched on last week. Hopefully, it would hold, and it actually did. It reversed up here, so we have pretty firm support there at 126 that you can lean on from here on out, I would think. And a stock to look out for here in the sector would be AmerisourceBergen, ticker ABC. It's a perfect 5-for-5-er, has a yield of 1%, trading right in the middle of the trading band with a weekly overbought or sold reading of negative 10%, and did return to a buy signal recently. So a strong stock here. That's pulled back a little bit over the past month, but returned to a buy signal and still a 5-for-5-er. So I want to keep an eye out for. And with that, I'll go ahead and pass it on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll go ahead and continue with the sector conversation, diving right into communication services, consumer discretionary, as well as utilities. Overall, not too much change from consumer or communication services this week. We still XLC having a low fund score. It's rebounded over this oversold territory that it reached in. It actually gained 5.9% or just shy of 6% there over the past week when we look at XLC. But in a number of cases, it was a lot of stocks coming out of oversold territory and getting pretty good bounces within XLC. And overall, again, not really too much change for the sector from there. Somewhat of a similar story within consumer discretionary when we look at XLY. We did see it return to a buy signal as it broke this double top here at 154, completing a bearish signal reversal pattern. But again, it's more of that story that we've seen a pretty good bounce out of oversold territory by a lot of stocks within this space. XLY was up over 12% over the past week, making it the best performing spider sector fund over that time period. And that led to some positive action on the bullish percent front as we saw it move back into a column of X's there at 20% and has now moved up to 28% after reaching a low of 14%. And when we look at performance of a lot of those groups under the hood, we actually saw DWA retail, restaurants, gaming, textile and apparel, as well as leisure up more than 10% over the past week. And a lot of that big move that we've seen as far as stocks returning to buy signals has primarily come out of the textiles and gaming sector. And textiles is interesting to look at because we did see it revisit a prior low level here at 12%, reaching down to those low levels we'd seen earlier in the month as well as in March, and has abruptly reversed back into X's here and rallied back above that 30% level. So we've seen quite a few stocks return to buy signals. But as we noted, in many, many cases, when we we look at those stocks, it's stocks that we're seeing move back to buy signals coming out of oversold territory. And one of those that is a great example of it is going to be Philips Van Heusen Corporation, symbol PVH. It's a zero for fiver. Don't really have much of a yield there. But as we see, it reached down to multi-year lows or 52-week lows here at 61 and has now rebounded back up into the mid-70s with today's action, although pulled back a little bit after rallying this morning. So we've seen a pretty good move out of stocks in a similar fashion, coming out of this oversold territory, rallying back pretty significantly back towards the middle of their trading band. So seeing a number of those technical pictures within consumer discretionary, but one that you can continue to look at as a positive sort of diamond in the rough within the space is going to be AutoZone, symbol AZO. It's a five for fiver, ranks in the top quintile of that AutoZone parts sector matrix. Returned to a buy signal by breaking a triple top here at 2080. Have a little bit of overhead resistance here at 2240, but overall is a technical picture that has remained fairly sound compared to a lot of others within the consumer discretionary space. So that is one you can look for within that space, AZO. And the last sector we'll talk about is going to be utilities. Not a whole lot of change for utilities from a relative perspective, still maintains that leadership. We did see XLU be the worst performing spider fund over the past week as it only gained 38 basis points, but we did see utilities move up into fifth. So still, as we noted, maintaining that strong relative picture and still able to show some positive performance as well. The technical picture for XLU really hasn't changed. We have seen weekly momentum flip back positive, and overall utilities, broadly speaking, we haven't seen that relative picture or the trending picture change too much overall. One stock to keep an eye on or potentially even add to at this point in time is going to be CMS Energy Corporation, symbol CMS. It's a three for fiver, ranks in the top third of that electric utility sector matrix and has a yield of roughly 2.6%. Reversed back into a column of X's with action over the past week and has rallied up to 71 just above the middle of that trading bin there and has been contained two consecutive buy signals and would actually, at this point, if it rallies above 74, would reach a new all-time high. So it's one you can keep on the shopping list or if you already own it, potentially add further to. But to continue our conversation on sectors, we will go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
Great. Thanks, David. I'm just going to hit on three today, being industrial, consumer staples, and real estate. I'm actually going to start with consumer staples today. I'm going to highlight, first of all, the bullish percent chart for the sector reverse back up into X's yesterday. Like many other sectors we saw this week with increased participation, staples was one of them. That reversal coming up yesterday up to 28%. So that chart is still what we would consider in low field position. It's still below that 30% mark, but still a positive sign that you're seeing participation widen as well in the consumer staples sector. Note that it is ranked third in Dolly right now. So it has been a place of greater, I would say, macro relative strength, at least so far this year. One space within staples that we've talked about being an area of strength, and I'm going to highlight again, is that food and beverage space, two individual names to follow. But if you're looking for a fund, PBJ, I mentioned before, great fund score, strongly positive score direction. It also looks like you got some good support developing around 4360 on this chart. So overall, positive weight of the evidence picture. If you want to be more concentrated in the staples space, this is an option and an area to do it. Some individual names that play in that as well. One is Archer Daniels Midland, ticker ADM. This had a pretty sharp sell-off late April, early May, but has since come back. You got a couple buy signals, not consecutive, but a couple buy signals, just another pullback today around the middle of the trading band. So this looks like it's trying to resolve itself higher. Still a five attribute name. It's ranked first in the food and beverages soap sector matrix as well. Another idea, if you want to be a bit more concentrated, is Monster, MNST. Gave a buy signal when it broke a quadruple top at 88. Looks like it's about one box from giving a second consecutive buy signal at 91. So overall, positive technical picture here, four attributes, trying to get its way towards the top half of that matrix. That's been a very strong matrix, I would add. But overall, fund idea to individual stock ideas within staples. Moving over to industrials now. Industrials and real estate all grouped together today, mainly because they've been behaving similarly. As David said, they've been really chopping around in the middle of our relative strength ranking, so in that equal weight territory, just kind of frolicking back and forth for most of this year. The bullish percent for the industrials sector, so the percentage of stocks on buy signals, has advanced notably this week. Yesterday, it cleared 34%, so you're seeing more names participate in the recovery. If you want to be more specific, though, the transport space or the industrial transports have probably been a more resilient pocket within industrial. So if you're looking for exposure there or looking to curtail your exposure, we'll probably focus it on the industrial transport space. Note that the bullish percent didn't get as washed out as the broader industrial group, as most of these stocks have held up better. This just confirming that also yesterday, clearing 44%. So that's where we're working toward half fuel territory. An individual name in that space that you can take a look at, not a popular name, but Starbulk Carriers, SBLK, cleared a lot of resistance at 32 earlier this week, gave up to multi-year high at $33. Five attribute, well-placed in the matrix as well. That's a name to consider. And the reason I mentioned some individual names and mentioned that might be worth being concentrated within the transportation space again, is that if you look at XTN as an example and the holdings that I have here over the past 30 days, names like Bird, Lyft, Car, which is Avis Budget, Uber, and then a lot of the airlines have been dragging down this broader transports fund. So going within the funds and taking individual stock exposure, I think, is an advantageous thing to do, especially in the sector, as well as within some of the subgroups as well. All right, and then lastly, like industrials, I'm going to hit on real estate in that it's just been chopping around in the middle of our equal weight Dolly relative strength rankings, no material updates to the sector. The only thing I'll highlight is that you did get this bullish percent reversal up to 28%. So like staples, this is still what we would consider in low field position in terms of participation. Note the positive trend chart, like some others, has not reversed up yet. So you're seeing that near-term signs of demand, but that hasn't translated over to stocks trading in overall positive trends. This is still in O's at 36%. At the moment. Just seeing how the sector has behaved through a broad spider proxy, XLRE, you're still on a sell signal. You've tried to bounce out of this oversold territory, hasn't really materialized into anything at this point. It's holding on to an acceptable 3.3 fund score. It's not the most exciting thing, but right now, from a fund score perspective, perhaps it's something worth holding on to, but more attractive areas certainly in the market, as others have said. So with that, I'll conclude and give it over to Jamie.
Materials remain second in the Dolly sector rankings. The Select Spider Materials Fund, ticker XLB, returned to a buy signal and a positive overall trend late last week and saw its fund score improve slightly. However, it remains in unfavorable territory, just above 2.85. We'll also note that the fund score of XLB remains notably lower than the average for all materials funds, something we've talked about a bit in previous rundowns. So to the extent that you're getting your materials exposure from a broad-based fund, you may want to do some comparison shopping and make sure that the industry allocation is matching up with the relative strength within the material sector. We can see here in the Dolly group, the DWA group matrix, there are several industries within the material sector that are in the top 8 or 10 of that group matrix. Those include steel, chemicals, forest products, and non-ferrous metals. There are some industry-specific funds like the metals and miners fund, so you can use those, or you may want to just try and match up a broad fund with the industry exposure showing the greatest relative strength, and then avoid those showing relative weakness, notably precious metals absent from the top of the group matrix. So you may want to try and focus on broad sector funds that are overweight areas like steel and chemicals and underweight precious metals, which has been a laggard within the sector. Moving on to energy, not a lot to report over the last week. The Energy Select Spider Fund continues to have a near perfect fund score of around 5.9. Energy remains atop the Dolly sector rankings, actually adding a few buy signals to its tally over the last week. We can see here that XLE actually added two X's on its chart yesterday, pushing to a new multi-year high at $90. So all signs remain positive for the energy index, or I'm sorry, the energy sector as a whole. You know, again, no shortage of strong names to choose from within the sector, but one that stands out currently is Chevron, ticker CVX. You can see here breaking a spread quintuple top late last week, taking out resistance that had been in place since March, reaching a new multi-year high yesterday when it hit $180, has a 4 for 5 technical attribute rating. So a strong buy in our system, and ranks around the top third of the oil sector matrix. Also has a 3% yield, so offering some income for those of you who may be looking for potential dividend plays. So overall, materials and energy both remain areas of strength within the market. Materials showing some weakness within certain industries. So you want to do some comparison shopping there if you're using a broad sector fund to gain your exposure. Meanwhile, continuing to see broad-based strength within energy. And we see the Select Spider Energy Fund XLE continuing to push to new multi-year highs, taking most energy stocks within the space with it. So that's all I have on those two sectors. And I will pass it over to Ian for technology.
So the broader technology space has continued to see some movement, a little bit of an uptick with some of the other washed out areas within domestic equities over the course of the past week, but we haven't seen that many changes from a broader relative strength perspective. The technology sector continues to sit in the bottom and toward the bottom end of the DALI sector rankings. It's remained unchanged from a relative strength buy signal perspective over the course of the past couple of weeks, actually. And it continues to be one of the lowest ranked sectors in the Asset Class Group Scores page as well. However, we have seen some absolute improvement in looking at the broader technology select sector spider fund, ticker XLK. This fund did return to a buy signal with a double top breakout last week, ticked a little bit higher with some of the movement this morning to touch up to 142. So it was now testing that bearish resistance line, that negative trend line that has been in place since the beginning of last month. The XLK still possesses a suitable fund score 3.80, sharply negative score direction though. So seeing this kind of push back to a positive trend would definitely be some further follow through the upside for that broader technology space. However, we haven't seen that many individual stocks within the technology space return to positive trends. We've seen some of the names move back to buy signals. We talked about that on this call last week, but we still yet to see that change kind of carry over into the broader positive trend. Looking at the PTEC Tech, positive trend for tech stocks on the site, still sits down at a chart level of 14%. Got close to the 17% mark of movement yesterday. So it's getting a little bit closer to reversion back up in axis, but that's another indicator to continue to keep an eye on for further follow through in that technology space. There are a few stocks that have shown some recent strength or more resilience and then further improvement over the course of the past week or so. One in particular being Western Digital Corp, ticker WDC. That's a 4 for 5 from an attribute perspective. We've seen two consecutive buy signals, most recently with a bullish triangle breakout with movement at the end of last week. So one of the top ranked stocks in that computer sector matrix. So showing some upside with some near-term support offered in there. Also another one would be Avnet Inc, ticker AVT. This is another 4 for 5, another name that's ranked towards the top end of its respective sector matrix. It's touching formed a triple top at 48, so a break to the upside. Second consecutive buy signal, potential move to 49. It got within 20 cents of that move this morning before backing off. So definitely another point to keep an eye out there for. You got strong support offered there at 45. And then another name to look towards, Analog Devices, Inc., ticker ADI. Another name that's on multiple consecutive buy signals. This one is another 4 for 5 from an attribute perspective. You've seen a little bit more kind of consolidation throughout after the sell-off there in January. So it's seen it push higher to that 168 level is certainly notable improvement. Ideally, kind of like to see it fully break out of this consolidation up to that 172 point. But nonetheless, you got support offered there at that 158, and the stock is in an overall positive trend. So a few names to look toward there, but the sector by and large continues to show a lack of follow through to the upside from a longer term perspective, still an underweight within that broad sector ranking. shifting gears a bit from the domestic equity side and jumping into the cryptocurrency space, seeing a little bit of a rebound in cryptocurrencies over the course of the past week. This can be seen by looking at the 50-point chart of that NASDAQ crypto index, ticker NCI, on the site. We saw that chart form a bottom around that 1550 level, which is also going to be heavily oversold conditions. So we touched on last week, a lot of the cryptos were major cryptocurrencies, the 10 constituents of NCI, were pretty open, pretty oversold territories. So we've seen that bounce up a little bit. It's a good sign to see it forming a higher low on this 50-point chart. Ideally, we'd like to see kind of further follow through with that buy signal potential that would be given at 1900. But in looking at the individual constituents, we've only seen one name would return to a buy signal with movement over the course of the past week. That's Axie Infinity, ticker AXS. So not too much kind of follow through, more so rebounding from that oversold conditions. Really like to see some kind of broader strength or at least notable technical improvement before looking toward that kind of potential ending of that crypto winter. But many of the areas continue to be underweight or out of favor at the current point. So then jumping gears from the cryptocurrency space and looking at international equities, we've seen international equities rebound a little bit as well. You can see this by looking at some of the near-term performance from some of the broad international representatives. So we've seen the emerging markets representative, ticker EEM, rebound more so than the other areas, improving over 4.5% over the last 7 days to mark a positive improvement over the course of the past month. It hasn't been as resilient, maybe it's shown a little bit more weakness throughout a year-to-date basis than the developed markets or that broader ACWX space. Nonetheless, we've seen it rebound a little bit stronger over the course of the past week. And that has been shown in looking at the EEM default chart, seen this fund rebound from oversold conditions right in the middle of the trading band at 43, also formed a double top there. The move back to a buy signal at 43.50, that would mark its first buy signal since June of last year after a string of 7 consecutive sell signals over the course of the past year at this point now. So would definitely be a point to keep an eye out there for. Still a weaker technical name, weak fund score, lower than the other average international equity fund areas. But nonetheless, this near-term improvement is something to watch for further follow-through. And looking at the individual country breakdown, we can see that some of the emerging market areas are some of the most improved, unsurprisingly, with the pickup in EEM. We've seen some notable improvement from Chile, from Portugal, and also from China, kind of continuing to bounce from the bottom end of the rankings there. So looking at Chile, jumped up notably over the course of the past week, moving from the 7th position at the end of April into the first ranked position now. A Chilean representative you can look towards is the iShares MSCI Chile ETF, ticker ECH. This is a name we've hit on a little bit throughout the course of the past few months as Chile's kind of been in that top quartile of the rankings. But we've seen a lot of improvement over the course of the past week with the chart moving to a 52-week high, or close to 52-week high up there at 30.50. Very strong, near perfect 5.86 fund score and a very, very sharply positive score direction, 5.82. One of the largest names within this, a mining company within Chile, was up over 40% over the last 30 days, and it makes up 25% of this ETF. So something to keep note of there. You got a little bit of more single stock risk than you would in some other broad ETFs, but nonetheless, some pretty significant improvement over the course of the past week. And then in looking toward China, China still continues to be ranked in the bottom half of the ranking, still ranked low across most of our relative comparisons, but we've seen some notable recent strength, specifically within that kind of internet or China technology space. There's been pretty out of favor for well over a year at this point. Looking at the Crane Shares CSI China Internet ETF, ticker KWEB, this fund continues to sit at a low technical scoring, but it's been in a negative trend since March 2021. And we're now seeing it kind of test up against that trend line with movement yesterday. You're a spread triple top at 29.50. If you get through 30 up to that 30.50 point, you'll break back through to a positive trend for the first time in about looking there at 15 months. So definitely notable to see this fund improving. Would like to see some further follow through before really kind of cementing a favorable area, but nonetheless could be a place to keep an eye out there for, because as when China starts to move higher, it tends to move higher pretty rapidly there in ranking. So other than that, not too much going on from a broader international equity space as we head into the month of June. So I'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
U.S. Treasury yields have moved higher over the last week. The U.S. Treasury 10-year yield index, which we see here, reversed up yesterday and returned to a buy signal when it broke double top at 2.875%. And we can see there it has continued higher to 2.925% today. This is definitely something to keep an eye on. You know, there had been a lot of conjecture, speculation that perhaps we had seen a top in rates, you know, indicating that the pain in the bond market might be over. You know, also potentially some signs that, you know, we see the end of the Fed tightening program somewhere, you know, in the next 6 to 8 months. So definitely something to keep an eye on as to whether the market's perception of that is changing, whether there is more potential pain in store for the bond market. And, you know, a lot of that hinges on, you know, whether we see intermediate to long-term rates, primarily the 10-year, actually move higher below that, or I'm sorry, above that high of around 3.15% that it hit back in early May. On a kind of different note, we actually saw high yield spreads decline pretty notably over the last week or so. You may remember at our last video, high yield spreads sitting around 5%. They have declined to about 4.35%, kind of simultaneously with some improvement that we've seen in the equity market. However, that hasn't really changed the overall picture for high yield. Both corporate and municipal high yields remaining in deeply unfavorable territory. You can see average group scores of around 2.2 for both groups. And largely the overall picture for the fixed income market is pretty much the same as it was last week. As David mentioned, U.S. fixed income short duration has moved to the top of the Dolly fixed income rankings. And we see something similar here. Here, inverse fixed income sits at the top of the asset class group scores ranking, but there is no inverse group within Dolly. So, you know, largely the same picture with short duration, the only, you know, non-inverse group showing a favorable score above 3.0. Several groups kind of on the bubble in the 2.5 to 3.0 range, including mortgages, floating rates. And meanwhile, still the majority of the kind of fixed income universe remaining in unfavorable territory with scores below 2.5. So, you know, while we had seen some improvement coming into last week, you know, the rise in rates yesterday and today, maybe calling that into question a little bit. And at this time, you know, I think the fixed income rankings within the asset class group scores still painting a pretty clear picture of where you want to be. And that is in those more defensive assets, like short duration and floating rate, at least until we get some more clarity on which way the market is going to head. Moving on to commodities, it remains atop the asset class rankings within within Dolly. And within the asset class, we continue to see energy and agriculture lead within the continuous commodity matrix. You can see at the top several energy contracts, followed by some softs in agriculture. And this is largely the same picture that we've been seeing for the last several weeks, if not longer. Not a lot of movement on individual commodity charts this week, but a couple to note. First of all, the big one, crude oil, gave a second consecutive buy signal late last week, and then moved to $119 yesterday. This is the highest level we've seen it reach since March. So I think kind of notable that oil has once again been able to kind of return to an uptrend after, you know, going through sort of a downtrend through part of March and April. Once again, definitely seems to be on the upswing and kind of threatening those more elevated levels that we saw in March around the time of the Russia-Ukraine conflict really getting underway. Meanwhile, in another energy contract, we see here the 10-cent chart for natural gas, so a little bit less sensitive than the default chart. And you can see here giving a second consecutive buy signal mid last week, reaching a new multi-year high before reversing down and printing an O on its chart yesterday. But again, you know, a pretty well-defined looking uptrend for natural gas here. We can see a series of higher highs. So, you know, all signs kind of continuing to point to strength for the energy complex within commodities, both from, you know, the appearance of the individual trend charts to the rankings within the commodities matrix. So overall, with commodities remains, you know, the strongest asset class in the Dolly rankings, and within commodities, continuing to see strength from energy and agriculture, you know, really the two areas we want to continue or really want to focus our exposure on. So that's all I have on fixed income and commodities, and I will pass it over to John to wrap us up.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So commodities still remains that number one asset class in Dolly, as Jamie just showed. We've seen crude oil reverse up and start heading higher again after a pullback off of those March highs. The agriculture space really continues to be strong as well. On the domestic equity side, we really are seeing those value names doing much better than the growth names. Even though we had a little bit of a bump over the last week, value and those more value-oriented sectors are definitely the place to be. And then, you know, followed up with fixed income, which really has had difficulty, continues to have difficulty, and we don't have many groups at all ranked up top in the asset class group scores, meaning, you know, those are buy areas. Most of that is avoid. I know a lot of people have to have fixed income exposure. And if you do, there's things like floating rates, like Jamie talked about, or just very short term U.S. treasuries. So we'll be back next week to talk about all the changes we see in the upcoming few days.